I tell you, little buddy, this whole island is bewitched.
You remember, we were shipwrecked together.
Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. The guy over there is Greg Kot. And if you want to be the first to hear our bonus podcast, become a Sound Opinions member on Patreon or Patreon. I say it differently every show, and that's just to keep you all engaged. Like Jane Mecklenburg. Jane, sweet Jane. Thank you, Jane, for supporting the show. We wouldn't be here without our listeners. Now, Greg and I have so much music that we're always eager to share with you and to talk about that there's no telling what's going to bubble up on any given day. Greg, give us a little hint of what you got in store.
Well, there was a big birthday that an iconic performer celebrated recently. I want to pay tribute to that performer with my pick.
Happy birthday pick from Greg. We'll hear that in a minute on Sound Opinions.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. Greg has got a birthday pick. I'm curious about this one.
Joni Mitchell turned 80.
Oh, wow. November 7th.
That's a big one. You know, and considering that we nearly lost Joni, we thought we might have lost her a few years back. She's back, releasing new music, seems to be doing some shows again, which is fantastic news. Enjoying a bit of a victory lap, if we may say so. And the fact that she's still around and doing music and reminding us of her greatness is a blessing. I wanted to point to a particular period in her career that I find fascinating, because I think a lot of Joni fans sort of tuned out after she started reached a certain point in mid to late 70s. Her music became, quote unquote, more difficult, right? It wasn't the folk-based stuff from her earlier in her career. But I really think for her, it was the only way forward, and in a way revived her passion for what she was doing. And if the fan base didn't quite catch up to it then, they're catching up to it now, realizing that this is really adventurous stuff that maybe was a little bit of ahead of its time, totally unexpected back then. Now we're sort of processing in the context of a career that has consistently been about challenging boundaries. You know, she was coming off this string of really acclaimed albums in the early to mid-70s, Blue, For the Roses, Court and Spark, and then she released The Hissing of Summer Lawns in 1975.
Yeah, I knew that's where you were going to go.
And it's a key transitional album because it really points the way to her stretching her music away from folk and pop and going more in the direction of jazz and art songs, even touches of classical music she was starting to get into from that point on. Now, the album cover, Joni does most of her album cover. She did this one. The painting is of a huge anaconda being carried by a handful of Africans against a backdrop of the L.A. skyline. The hissing of summer lawns, get it?
Yeah.
You know, you've got this kind of ominous undercurrent here in this kind of idyllic scenario of LA, right?
One of the only things I miss about writing for the Sun-Times, right, for 15 years, daily newspaper, is I once did the obligatory summer preview. You know, we used to have to do these things every year, right? Summer concert season upon, right? And it was, I used it more as a reason to rant about lousy sound, bad facilities at outdoor, what was then called the World Music Theater, and, you know, the, you know, best headline ever, the dissing of summer lawns.
Yeah, there you go. That is a good one. Well done. Joni, you know, she's given us catchphrases in addition to great songs for decades, and that was one of them. So the album cover is kind of depicting the scenario, this proverbial snake in the grass, right? And you've got a scenario here where she's pointing out that things aren't what they seem on the surface, you know? The first song on that record, and it was a very pointed that it was first in the selection here, In France They Kiss on Main Street. That was her last top 100 hit of that decade. She really didn't get back on the charts after that for quite some time. But it was also a turning point in her career because even though it was a pop hit, it was starting to incorporate some of these other elements, that elastic bass line, you know, her vocals very jazzy. At the same time, she was kind of waving goodbye to where she had come from. The backing vocalists on this track are no less than David Crosby, Graham Nash, James Taylor, right? This is the scene that she'd been lumped in with, those guys, you know, the singer-songwriter scene of the late 60s, early 70s. She's saying so long to that. She's soon going to replace those collaborators and those peers with a new set of collaborators, Jaco Pastorius, Wayne Shorter, Herbie Hancock. You know, I interviewed Joni a while ago. I tried to, you know, have her make sense of where her head was at during that period. And she said, I've always been an adjacent folky. It was just that it took me 6 records to find a band to play my music. The rhythms were too intricate for folk rock because my harmonies were not very white like James Taylor's or Carole King's, where everything was in a major or minor key. My emotional makeup is a bit vaguer. My life is going nicely, but always with a kind of dissonance going through it. And I gravitated toward wider chords, black, quote-unquote, voicings out of gospel and jazz because they mirrored what I was feeling. And I thought that was just a brilliant way of expressing what she was thinking at that time. So the song, In France They Kiss on Main Street, is a fond look back on her youth, the small-town innocence that she knew while she was growing up in Western Canada. And, you know, there's this cast of characters that she paints a very vivid picture. Gail, Louise, Chicky, Ron, Leadfoot, Melvin, they're all in this song. Mm-hmm. And she's basically saying goodbye to that youth, and she's going to move on from here. So really an important kind of transitional song in her career, one that this album doesn't get enough love, this song doesn't get enough love. But I'm going to give it some love on Joni's 80th, in celebration of Joni's 80th. In France They Kiss on Main Street, from Joni Mitchell on Sound Opinions.
Downtown, the dance halls and cafes feel so wild you could break somebody's heart just doing the latest dance craze. Gail and Louise in those push-up brassieres, tight dresses and under bridges, kissing in cars, kissing in cafes. And they were walking down Main Street, kisses like bright flags, hung on holidays. In France they kiss on Main Street, amour, mama.
That is Joni Mitchell. In France they kiss on Main Street. And waving goodbye to one ear and saying hello to another.
You know, as with Bob Dylan and Neil Young, Greg, we are just lucky to be alive at the same time as Joni Mitchell.
Right.
And long may she run, to borrow a Neil title. That's it for this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. For more full episodes, visit our website, soundopinions.org. To sponsor the show, email sponsor@soundopinions.org. Sound Opinions, as always, is produced by Alex Claiborne, Andrew Gill, our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo, and our Columbia College intern, Max Hatlam. Social media is handled by Katie Cott. Thanks for listening.